Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
New intro, same show. Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be with you on the Monday afternoon as we're going to talk local and national sports. And it is the week of the Super Bowl, but the NBA did find a way to rip the headlines away from the NFL. We will talk about that in just a moment. And then there's plenty of local sports to dive into today as well. It's a big week for wrestling. Coming up Friday and Saturday, it's the divisional tournament. You got to finish top eight if you want to move on to the state championship next week. And so some high-pressured situations coming up for Emory and Carbon High School wrestlers. We're going to talk about that again today. Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Spartans will join us next segment. And there's a lot of local sports that we have to recap. It was a very, very busy weekend, so we'll get into that in just a moment as well. Now, talking about the NBA, it broke earlier today that Anthony Davis has formally requested a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans, and this is fascinating based on timing. And it's funny, we were talking about the NBA trade deadline last week on the show, and it is an agent-driven league. You can't deny that. And this Anthony Davis formal trade request proves it. And we'll dive into this a little bit later on in the show. But here's the facts. Two teams in the NBA can make a great package, can put together a great package to entice the Pelicans to move on from one of the best players in the world. The Boston Celtics, and the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm saying it's an agent-driven league, and if you need any more proof, here you go. The rumors of Anthony Davis wanting out of New Orleans started to swirl when he signed with Clutch Sports, LeBron James' agent Rich Paul. It's known that Anthony Davis is not going to sign an extension. Maybe there were some hopes that New Orleans could pull something to entice him to stay. But no, that's not the case. He says he's not signing, he wants a trade. The Boston Celtics cannot trade for Anthony Davis until this offseason. And AD wants out right now. Tell me it's not an agent-driven league. I do believe Anthony Davis is going to end up with the Lakers, and I think it's very possible that this happens within the next 10 days, because that's how long we have until the trade deadline. It's going to be an interesting scenario. There are a couple of other teams that I think will jump into the sweepstakes as well. And here's the other thing you got to point out. The Pelicans do not have to trade him to a specific team. Anthony Davis has no leverage in this. And the reason the Celtics cannot trade for Anthony Davis is because Kyrie Irving is still on his rookie extension deal. You can't have two players on the same team with that particular deal. So he can't go to Boston. Philly, New York, and LA. I think all three of those teams will try to cash in and grab Anthony Davis. But that was the big story today. The Pelicans have released a statement basically saying that they will work on their own timeline. Nobody is going to tell them when to trade Anthony Davis. The actual quote said, "This past weekend, Anthony Davis's representatives informed us that Anthony does not wish to sign a contract extension with our team and subsequently has requested a trade. Although we are disappointed in this decision, our organization's top priority is to bring an NBA championship to our city and build our team for long-term success." They also have asked the NBA to fully implement the tampering rules. And look, to say there's no tampering here, maybe the Lakers organization hasn't had direct contact with Anthony Davis, but there are loopholes. And Rich Paul, who talks to LeBron all the time, also, again, it's also the same guy that represents Anthony Davis. I mean, there's communication going on. This happens all the time. I thought Boston was a logical landing spot, but they would have to wait throughout the remainder of the season if they're going to do that. To me, this is a power play to get AD in L.A., and that has been the big story today. We will talk about it a little bit later on. Like I said, the week of the Super Bowl, and the NBA's found a way to take away the top headline. But we will be talking the Super Bowl every day this week, and in fact, I have several guests lined up to join us throughout the week. I'll keep those a little surprise for the time being, but we'll talk to plenty of former NFL players and former college football players over the next few days to get you set up for Super Bowl 53, which again, do not forget, you can listen to it live right here on KOAL. It'll all begin at noon. Westwood One's coverage of Super Bowl 53 and then kick off at 4:15. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at some of the other national headlines, and why not, let's look at the schedule in the NBA, because with it being a new week, we have a full slate of games on tap tonight, and we will begin in the 5 o'clock hour. The New York Knicks will travel on the road to meet the Charlotte Hornets. Start time for that game is at 5 p.m. Golden State will then travel to Indiana to meet the Pacers at 5 p.m. We get Boston playing host to Brooklyn at 5:30, and Denver will travel on the road to meet the Memphis Grizzlies at 6 p.m. Atlanta in the nightcap tonight, traveling on the road to meet the Los Angeles Clippers. So a short slate, five games all in all, but we do have some NBA basketball back as we start off a brand new week. Outside of that, it has been a quiet day as far as the national sports scene is concerned. We will talk again Super Bowl 53. The Rams are already providing the New England Patriots with bulletin board material. Here's a question. Why in the hell would you do that? Why on earth would you give a team that has gone to the Super Bowl nine times with one quarterback and one head coach any bulletin board material when you are highly inexperienced? If you think you're going to play a mind game with this team and win, you're an idiot. There's no possible way you're going to win a mind games with the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. Coming up, local sports. What happened over the weekend? A lot. We'll recap Emory basketball, Carbon basketball, USU Eastern, and also give a shout-out to both Carbon and Emory's cheer squads who participated in the state championships over the weekend. Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Spartans will join us, and we'll talk more about Anthony Davis requesting a trade out of New Orleans. It's all coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with the high school swim scene, where this past Thursday, the Carbon Dinos and the Emory Spartans both closed out the regular season as they participated in the region championship. The Carbon Lady Dinos used five first-place finishes to win the Region 14 championship swim meet, which took place Thursday afternoon at Clyde Recreation Center in Springville. Accumulating 538 points, the Lady Dinos easily defeated the Millard Eagles, who finished second with 324 points. Union came in third, followed by Mazer Prep, American Leadership Academy, and Altamont, Delta, and Beaver rounded out the field of eight. The Millard Eagles claimed the top spot on the boys' side of the pool with a final total of 378 points. Union finished in second with 323, followed by Delta with 246, and Carbon rounded out the top four. You can get the complete individual results by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Now, the Emory Spartans claimed the Region 15 championship as both the boys and the girls dominated the competition. The boys gathered 288 points. They're the two-time defending state champions, and they topped second place Grand, who finished with 261. On the girls' side of the pool, the Emory Lady Spartans easily outpointed the field after scoring 435 points compared to second place Richfield's 248. Again, you can get the results from the Emory Region 15 swim meet at CastleCountryRadio.com. Both Carbon and Emory will now turn their attention to the state championship meet, which will take place at Brigham Young University on February 7th. We move over to cheerleading, and the 2019 Utah Cheer Club Sports State Competition was held at Salt Lake Community College this past Saturday. Cheerleading is not under the Utah High School Activities Association's umbrella as a sanctioned sport, but those who participate do support most of the high school sports by attending games, and they create a spirited environment for those in attendance. Now, the competition ran two sessions. 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, and junior high school and middle school groups competed at first, and then the last session was between 5A and 6A schools. Carbon and Emory both performed well at the event. Carbon took home first place in song, leading, and palm, and also finished second in the sideline slash school fight song category. Carbon's other top performance came from the all-girls show cheer, where they finished third overall. Emory High School finished at the top in the all-girls show cheer, no tumbling category. That was between the 3A and 4A classification. And it should also be noted that for Emory High School, Tiana Jensen is a part of the academic All-State team. Congratulations to all those who did participate this past weekend in the state cheer competition. We move over to high school basketball, and this past Friday, the Carbon Dinos suffered a 58-40 loss to the Providence Hall Patriots in a Region 14 contest at Carbon High. The Dinos battled tough. They led by 10 at the end of the first quarter, and they were tied at halftime. Providence Hall pulled away by outscoring Carbon 19-6 in the third quarter. Despite the setback, Carbon was led by Derek Hillam, who scored 18 points. Caleb Nelson chipped in with 9. Now, as a team right now, the Dinos are still in fifth place in the 3A Region 14 division. Carbon is currently 3-6 overall, 2 games behind the Union Cougars. The Dinos will have an opportunity to get back into the win column when they return to the court this Wednesday on the road against Macer Prep. Carbon will then take the remainder of the week off before wrapping up the regular season next Tuesday and Friday. We move over to Emory High School, and the Spartans suffered their fourth region loss of the season this past Friday, falling on the road to the Richfield Wildcats 65-60. In a back-and-forth contest, Emory held a 2-point advantage with about 35 seconds to play in regulation, but it was Richfield that finished strong. Despite the loss, Emory was led by Kate Brazier, who scored 23 points, 18 of which came from beyond the 3-point line. Brax Jensen chipped in with 14. Kyson Stilson scored 7. Emory will now travel on the road this Wednesday as they take on the Manti Templars. Start time for that contest is set for 7 p.m. We move over to junior college athletics, and this past Saturday, the USU Eastern women's basketball team ended a 2-game losing skid as they scored a massive 86-45 victory over Colorado Northwestern on the road in Rangeley. The Lady Eagles were dominant throughout the contest and did not let up in all 4 quarters. The USU Eastern men's squad, on the other hand, they came up short, dropping to 3-2 in conference play, falling to Colorado 85-70. USU Eastern held a 6-point lead with 8 minutes to play in the game, but foul trouble plagued USU Eastern as Blaze Neild went to the bench with his 4th foul at the 11-minute mark. Neild was the only USU Eastern player to reach double figures, scoring 30 points. USU Eastern will now play host to Fan Appreciation Night this Thursday against Salt Lake Community College. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Monday edition of the Coach's Corner, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It's a very big weekend for wrestling. Coming up this Friday and Saturday, it is the divisional tournament for all classifications as we gear up for the 3A state championships next weekend. And the Emory Spartans recently wrapping up the regular season. They traveled on the road to Duchesne this past Thursday. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have head coach Kurt Christiansen of the wrestling team. Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be here.
Coach, we're really getting down to it. I mean, we have just a couple of more weekends left in the wrestling season. You guys wrapped up the regular season this past Thursday with a road trip to Duchesne. Before we talk about the divisional meet, I want to talk about that very successful outing for the boys.
Yeah, we had a good time. We wrestled really tough. We won a few more matches than we did last time we wrestled them, and we were able to come up with the win.
What's the biggest difference, Coach, between this go-around and the first time?
Well, I think that we had a few guys down a weights, but they moved a couple guys down as well, so we had the same matchups. I think we just polished a few things and wrestled a little better, and one break that went our way is we got a win at 195. So that helped. Thanks for Cole for taking the spot there, and boys wrestling good, doing good.
You mentioned someone taking a spot at a specific weight class, Coach. It seems like this is the ultimate team in that regard. You've had a lot of kids wrestle out of weight in different classes throughout the entire year.
Yeah, you know what? We've got Zion Gibson stepping up, and, you know, he should be at 60-pounder. He's walking around at 65, and he jumps up and fills that 82 spot for us, which and he gets a lot of wins there instead of forfeits. You know, we're really excited about that. And, you know, we've got Braden Howard, who should probably be at 95, and he and Cole have had some battles at Wrestle-Off, but, you know, he steps up and wrestles 220 for us. He fills the spot there. You know, Braden Parker's been out sick last little while, so we're glad to have guys that are willing to jump a weight class and fill a hole for us, you know.
Yeah, when you look at the grand scheme of the way the team is right now, Coach, and I guess this kind of ties into divisionals, but following the meet against Duchesne, how happy are you with where the boys are at right now?
Oh, I'm tickled. I couldn't be more pleased. You know, we talked about it before. I'm too deep in multiple weight classes, and it's just been fun to have this much depth and have this much skill level. And we've talked about their work ethic before. We're working really hard and trying our tails off in practice, and I think they're polishing, and we're going to go turn some heads. You know, we're going to battle Delta for that number two spot. I think is realistic for us as a team, and hopefully we'll get 5-6 guys in the finals. If things go our way and they wrestle like they can, it's a definite possibility. So it'll be fun.
Obviously, coming out of the Duchesne meet, you hope everyone is just healthy, right? I mean, that's the main concern coming out of that meet, knowing that it is the final, you know, regular season meet before we go into divisionals, Coach. But from a coaching perspective, what else do you try to accomplish in that final meet?
Well, you know what? We just want to polish those skills, and it wasn't a meet against a 2A team, so it really didn't matter to us. We just wanted to go be competitive, and that's kind of been our motto all year. Just get in a scrapping match for every set of points and try to win every set of points. And if we don't win that set, we'll go on and win the next set and win those situations. And we start winning situations, and matches take care of themselves, and meets take care of themselves, and tournaments take care of themselves. So if they'll just concentrate on the set of points before them and not worry about what happened in the past or try to wrestle two matches ahead of themselves, they're going to do just fine.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School Wrestling Squad. Coach, let's talk about divisionals. It is coming up this weekend. You guys will travel to the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield. Let's talk about what this team has to accomplish and kind of the process of getting qualified for state.
Well, you know, in order to qualify for the state tournament, we've got to come out of there eighth or better. They're going to fill a 16-man bracket, eight from each division. So, of course, we want to be top eight. As far as the team goes, at 106, I should have two there that qualify for the state. And I'm fully expecting to have number one and number two in our division coming out of our team with Byron and Jeff right there. They're amazing. We've got Juab there, and Jeff has struggled a little bit with the kid from Juab lost. Twice to him, but by 1 point each. And I think if Jeff wrestles like he did in Duchesne, boy, we'll have no trouble getting Jeff on top of the podium with Byron right there in the divisionals. At 113, I've got Jaron. You know, yeah, statistically, he should come out of there number two. We're hoping for a number one seed coming out of the divisionals there. We also got Jacob Buell right there, who gives Jaron all he wants and then some in wrestle off. So we should very well have two there at 113. At 120, we have the same situation with Corby and Dwayne. So we're looking for those two in the final. If not, we should, you know, statistically right now, Corby's two in our division. He struggled a little bit with the Warner kid from VUAP. So we're really looking forward to a rematch in the finals there with Tanning Warner. And hopefully Corby will come out on top there. At 126, we've got Tyler and Drake coming in there. Drake's got a real shot at being in the finals and in divisionals. Tyler's going to have to work his tail off and battle hard to make the state tournament. But we're really looking forward to seeing if we can get him on the podium and getting him to the state finals. At 132, we've got Dovey and Tyrell Guyman's made it down that weight now. So we're looking for those two. Yep, we're looking for those two to get into the final and see what we can do there. Chase at 138, realistically, he's a 2-3 seed coming out of divisional, so he should come into the state meet set really good to place at state as well. Our JV there will be Bane Funk, and man, if he turned it on lately, his skill level is jumping and jumping and jumping, and, you know, he's really fit and athletic, so we're hoping that he can get himself into the state tournament and get a state placing there too. So, I mean, so far you can tell I'm really excited about this team. We're two deep clear to there at 45. I've got two more. I've got Aiden Mortensen as my JV and Briar Macarello right there. And these JV guys that are going to go in there and win a lot of matches are really going to help us edge out our competition in tournament play. You know, the team scores are going to start looking really good for us when we you know, take out their varsity wrestlers with our JV guys. So it's looking really good there at 52. I've got McKay, Macarello, and then at 60, I've got Gus. And both of those are realistically number one coming out of divisionals. And Hayes Dalton, it's going to be a tough row for him. He's got two real toughies. You know, statistically, he's probably number three. But don't look past him. He could really take it to Grantsville or to Union and make his way into the final there. So we're stoked to 170. You know, Zion's going to step up and try the 182 class at divisionals, see if he can get his way in. You know, he's like a 4-5 seed. At 182, you know, and he's done really well there. So look out for him. And then at 195, we've got Cove. And I believe Braden will be down to 195. So those two will both battle hard. And I think you'll see them both make the state tournament. And then at 220, Parker Beglin. Now, he's a freshman at that weight. But we still are expecting him to win a couple and get his way into the state tournament. And at 285, we've got another freshman with James there, and we're hoping that he can get a couple wins and get in the state tournament as well. So that kind of wraps it up for us as far as the team goes going into divisionals.
Coach, as you go into the final, I guess we could say final couple of days of practice before you guys head off to divisionals, what do you do as a coach? Because at this point, it's you kind of know it or you don't, right? I mean, and health has got to be something that you're concerned with at this stage.
Yeah, you know what? We're today, tomorrow, probably real, real tough practices. You know, work on just getting that little bit extra fit and a lot of live wrestling. And then the following 2 days, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll work on a lot of technique. We'll get tired a little bit first practice and then, you know, maintain our fitness level. But we'll kind of give them back off a little bit and give them a little physical rest so they're 100% ready to go into the tournament. And then, yeah, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Do you see urgency pick up around this time, Coach? This is kind of what the kids have been working for all year. This is what you've been building for. When you get to this stage, do you see the intensity pick up?
Well, that's what we're trying to do is get their intensity level up. You know, there's a few of them we've talked about before. They're kind of, it's tough when you're a kid. You spend all that time and it weighs on your mind and it starts to get you down. You know, you think you got looking forward to what's next instead of what's in front of you. So, you know, as a coaching staff, we're really trying to get that intensity level out of them and keep them sharp and have a little fun, you know?
Yes, that's the million-dollar question in high school athletics. How do you get it out of them, right?
Yeah, when you find the answer. I mean.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on and get an update on how the team is going. Congratulations on completing a very successful regular season. Best of luck this weekend at Divisionals, and I'm sure we'll talk again before state. I appreciate it, Coach.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Coach Kurt Christiansen again of the Emory Spartan Wrestling Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk more NBA basketball. Again, the big news this morning, Anthony Davis and his agent Rich Paul officially requesting a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans. Where's he going? We'll talk about that when we return.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back at Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It is the week of the Super Bowl. We're just 6 days away from the biggest game of the year as far as the gridiron is concerned. And yet the NBA finds a way to steal the attention the week of the Super Bowl. Earlier this morning, unless you were living under a rock, you heard that Anthony Davis's agent, Rich Paul, told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that the Pelicans have been informed that Anthony Davis has no intention of signing a contract extension and wishes to be traded. the timing of this is so interesting, considering Boston can't do anything right now. And there is one rumored destination for Anthony Davis that we've talked about for the last couple of months. I just think the timing is too unique, especially after the Lakers come out last week and say all names are on the board for a trade outside of LeBron. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have our NBA insider right here on Drive Time Sports, Jameson Welsh. Jameson, it's been a crazy few hours, but the writing's on the wall. Anthony Davis more than likely on his way out of New Orleans, I would expect within the next week or so.
Well, here's the thing. You know, definitely been a crazy morning. However, this situation has been lingering for a while. If the Pelicans were winning, if the Pelicans were in the playoff race, if they were winning, this would not be taking place. But they're not winning. He's put up really good numbers. He's played hard. You know, you can't really blame him. I know a lot of people are out there that are trying to give him blame. Got to blame the roster construction. The roster is not constructed to be a playoff team. Last year they got lucky. So here's the funny part. If they play like OKC or Utah, they probably don't win the first round. Like that's the whole funny thing. They got a favorable matchup. Well, they may have beat OKC, but that's a different story for a different day. Last year's playoff was kind of like a mirage. Yeah, they got the perfect matchup at the perfect time, and things kind of worked their way. And people are like, oh, well, you know, they're going to be a contender going forward, blah, blah, blah. But looking at the roster wasn't that good. They just had a great matchup, and they didn't have any cap space to get better. Like, that's the thing. It's one thing to have a bad roster, but if you have cap space and assets, you can figure it out. But if you're all the way capped out and your roster's not that good, that's one of the worst spots you could be in this NBA because you're not good enough to contend, to really compete. At the same time, you're not bad enough to really tank. And they're really in no man's land. And being no man's land with an all-star player like that is a really bad situation to be in.
Now, I did mention that Boston cannot negotiate a trade with New Orleans for Anthony Davis right now because they can't have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis on the roster until the summer. Both players are signed to a designated player rookie extension, and the league rules prevent teams from trading for more than one player signed to that type of deal. That's why I believe the timing is just too unique, Jameson. Again, last week the Lakers come out and they say they would be willing to add multiple players to they would add multiple young players in any trade for a superstar at the deadline. That was last week. I don't think anyone at that particular time thought that AD was going to be available. To me, this is negotiating through the media. That's what the Lakers have done here, and I believe that's what Rich Paul is doing here as well.
Well, absolutely. And also, here's the thing. The biggest thing is this. You want to get your client to where you can maximize his value. And more than just basketball, of course, basketball, playing for the Lakers, playing with LeBron James, maximizes a lot of stuff. But you also want to get AD in a market where, here's the funny part. AD is probably the best player that we don't know anything about. As good as he is, we have no idea who he is off the court. He's a very good player. He's an outstanding player. You can make an argument that on some nights he's the best player in the world. And we don't know what he's like. We don't know any. All we know is about his unibrow. That's all we know. We don't know anything else about him. So it's very interesting that this will come out about 10 days before the trade deadline. It's also very interesting that, his agent, Rich Paul, is also LeBron's agent, and is kind of making this happen. So it's a lot of things to keep an eye on.
Okay, let's float out some trade scenarios on what could actually be coming down the pipe. And we will begin with the Lakers. Why not? I'm going to throw another trade scenario out there for you that does not include the Lakers or the Celtics in just a moment. But I believe this trade gets it done, Jameson. Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and a first-round pick. And if you have to throw in an expiring contract, KCP. That gets it done right there. You could also throw in two minimum contracts from New Orleans coming back to L.A. To me, it's that simple. And I believe the Lakers do that deal in a heartbeat.
Yes, they would do that in a heartbeat. You're correct.
And that trade works, right? It works on all levels. And if I'm looking at it from a Pelican standpoint, you're not going to get a better offer than that at the deadline. It's not possible.
No, you're not.
Okay, so you would be on board with that trade for both sides.
That would help because the Pelicans kind of get to restart and they have some young assets that they either keep or flip and kind of just go from there. My biggest thing with Lakers is this. There is no offer that is too much. Like, there's none. The players that they have, pieces that they have, they're all replaceable. Kuzma's a nice piece, but he can be moved. Like, They say Ingram, nice piece. He can move. Lonzo, Hart, Zubac, all those guys are nice pieces. But if they all got to go, they all got to go.
Okay, let me throw an Eastern Conference team out there. And I believe the New York Knicks are going to be aggressive. I think the Knicks are going to try to get something done with the Pelicans. Don't know if they do, but let me throw this trade offer out there to you because it works. Hardaway, Knox, Robinson, and an unprotected first-round pick this year, which will more than likely be top three. That trade works. I mean, it's possible. So I guess it kind of just depends on what New Orleans actually wants. But to me, that's a feasible trade as well.
They're not doing that. Maybe if you do Porzingis in there with Knox, maybe. But they're not doing that. Because the Knicks, remember, that this whole season, someone was at the game yesterday, and all that they had talked about was Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is probably the most popular name in Knicks fan groupings right now than any current player there is. They're all in on whoever this pick is going to be. So that pick is not going to get moved.
Let me throw Philadelphia out there. Are they a logistical spot as well? Because, again, I'm talking about a Western Conference team shipping AD to the East. And I understand what AD wants. Rich Paul said he wants to play for a team that's going to compete for a championship regularly. New Orleans doesn't have to abide by that. I mean, they could trade him wherever they want to. So, Philadelphia. I mean, they have a couple of nice pieces that could go over that direction as well, be it Jimmy Butler, be it Markelle Fultz, be it Ben Simmons. I mean, they have pieces that get a deal done as well. I think you have to consider Philly.
But you do, because they have Ben Simmons who can be dealt, and I don't think it would happen, but you can. And if you have Embiid and Anthony Davis on the same roster, very interesting situation. But I think the mix up there, Jimmy Butler is a weird guy. He's a great player, but a weird guy. There's been issues wherever he's gone. Think about this. Wherever he's gone, there's been issues.
Yep.
Chicago, issues. Minnesota, tons of issues. Even in Philly, there's been issues and the fit isn't quite right. So I don't know if that'd be the right move for Philly. I don't know if Anthony Davis signs the extension if he goes to Philly. However, they'd be very dangerous. Like, they'd be extremely dangerous because they have two bigs that are the best bigs in the league, and there's nothing you could do to stop them. I just don't know how they play off each other without really having training camp or summer to kind of get used to each other. But that'd be a very scary, very, very scary grouping. However, I don't think that happens. I think the Sixers are kind of all in with their situation now. I think they're going to live and die with Ben Simmons and Bede tandem and kind of go from there.
I do believe New Orleans needs to get this done sooner rather than later. I know we're only 10 days away from the trade deadline, but based on everything that's going to be plaguing the team and knowing the options that are out there, look, if you can get what you want from LA right now, there's no reason to wait until the offseason to try to work out a trade from Boston. I don't know that Boston offers anything better than what the Lakers can offer right now.
Well, right now, Boston can't offer anything.
Right. So I'm talking about, as we get to the offseason, I don't know if Boston at that point in time can offer anything better than what LA can offer right now.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing when it comes to Boston. No, we don't know where their picks are going to end up at because the way the protections are. I do think the Grizzlies pick will probably be theirs, the way the Grizzlies are going, the way the teams in the East are. I think the Grizzlies pick's probably going to be around 7 or 8. So I think the Celtics will be able to cash in on that. I think it's top 6 protected, if I'm not mistaken. So I think the Grizzlies pick will be around 7 or 8. The Clippers pick, Clippers are either going to make the playoffs or be closely out of it. I think they're going to get that pick. And the Kings, the Kings are starting to be the Kings. So it looks like all those picks are going to be cashed in this year. It looks from the looks of things. That's what it looks like. So with that being said, it would not surprise me at all if those guys are drafted players and then dealt in the summer. However, we don't know who those players are going to be. We don't know where those picks are going to fall. There's a lot of unknowns. And also, people talk about the Lakers players not, meeting standards and not playing up to snuff. Rozier and Jaylen Brown, even Tatum, haven't been as good this year as they were in years past. Jaylen Brown's averaging 12 points on 44% shooting. So all this talk about Ingram not being that good and Lonzo Ball not being that good, Jaylen Brown really hasn't been that great either. I'm just saying by the numbers and by the list of things, Rozier hasn't been the same guy either, so it is very intriguing to see how this goes.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I think that people are still a little bit infatuated with Boston's young core based on what happened last season. But last season's not indicative of this season, and I think you hit it right on the head when you take a look at the regression. Gordon Hayward's kind of been the whipping boy. He's kind of been the scapegoat in Boston so far this season. Nobody outside of Curry's really balling up on that roster right now.
Man, so Gordon Hayward's an easy punching bag. It's not his fault he got hurt. He's on a big contract. And when you're on a big contract, the worst thing that can happen is this. Having a guy on a big contract that's not playing well for whatever reason, because you can't move him. Like, you can't move that contract. The only way to move that contract is to dump assets into moving it. Now, if they were to say, hey, Phoenix, take, you know, two of these first-round picks from, you know, that, you know, that we're owed from Sacramento and the Clippers, you know, maybe, but, you know, it would take it back, and I don't think they want to do that, just move a contract. So it's really rough. Gordon Hayward is that, with that big money contract and the production he's given them, it really hurts because that money could be going other places, and also those minutes can be going other places as well, because when Jaylen Brown and Tatum were getting minutes last year, they were very, 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 very impressive for young guys. Now he takes up minutes and money, very bad combination.
Jameson, lastly, before I let you go, your hunch, have we seen Anthony Davis play his last game in a Pelicans uniform? Because for those who do not know, he's not playing right now. He's got a fracture in his left index finger, so he is sidelined right now. Have we seen him play his last game in New Orleans?
I think it's 70-30, yes, and it's also interesting that Kyle Kuzma is sitting out with a hip injury that he was trying to play through. I think it's pretty interesting that he was, I think that was kind of the case. They kind of set him out. It's very interesting that all of a sudden he's sitting out a couple more games than usually, so something to keep an eye on.
Definitely. Jameson Welsh, again, our NBA insider. Jameson, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Man, here every week, ESPN 1100, ESPN 1480, which I'm about to hop on in like 10 minutes, Fox 1340, Kadon 720 in Vegas. A lot of places, man. It's going to be a very, very busy week.
Jameson said it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk Super Bowl 53. We're going to be talking a lot about the Super Bowl. Like I said, I got a great group of guests lined up to join us throughout the week. We'll talk to some former players at both levels. But Travis, it is Monday, so we are counting down the days. And it's funny, I was watching some of the pre-Atlanta trip interviews yesterday. Basically, in the NFL, you have a week to put your game plan in for the Super Bowl. Because from this point on, it's a media circus. It's a sideshow for the rest of the, you know, for the rest of the week, basically leading up to the game. So you have about a week to get your game plan in, a week of heavy practice, and now it's kind of more fun and relaxing. But I did talk about this a little bit in the intro to the show, and I'm going to go back to it. Nickell Robey-Coleman, who was the guilty party on the pass interference against the Saints that was not called, made his feelings known today just how much he hates the New England Patriots. I'm going to tell you some of the things he said. I don't know. Did you see his interview?
I did.
Okay, so first off, age has taken a toll on Tom Brady. Yes or no?
Yes.
It has. Look, people were outraged when he said this, but it's
everything
true.
That he said is 100%.
You think so? You agree with him on everything he said?
I agree 100%.
And you are in love with Tom Brady. If you haven't picked this up yet by listening to Drive Time Sports, Travis has a serious bromance with Tom Brady, but you're going to say, yes, he's not what he was 5-6 years ago.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
He's a much older player. It's just, you know, as he gets older, you know, he's going to wear down a little bit.
Not the same quarterback. He's not.
And
Robey-Coleman did talk about the movement, his speed, the velocity. I talked about the arm strength. I've talked about this for 2 years. The arm strength of Tom Brady is diminishing severely.
It is.
Now, this is what makes Tom Brady so great. This is what makes Bill Belichick so great. How many times has Tom Brady gone down the field in the postseason? I haven't seen him go down the field once that I can remember. A couple of times, I mean, handful of times. Intermediate routes.
We did a stat on our show on Saturdays that in the postseason, he's not been sacked at all. Zero sacks.
Well, he hasn't been sacked.
Yeah.
But the reason he hasn't been sacked is because he's not spending any time in the pocket. Everything is underneath the defense. He's not going over the top. Okay, so when you have a quarterback who's not mobile, a quarterback who doesn't have velocity or speed, what's the best way to utilize his skill set? Get the ball out immediately.
Quickly, yeah. You just get rid of it quick. But the Chargers and the Chiefs really didn't have guys to put pressure up the middle to
Rams
where they force, and the Rams do, where they force Brady out of the pocket where he has to make those kind of throws where he just sat in the pocket against those teams and, you know, he just picked them apart.
I don't think he's going to be able to do that on Sunday. I don't.
No, it's going to be kind of similar to what Philadelphia did last year where they kind of flushed up the middle. Although Brady did play brilliantly in that Super Bowl last year. But
they didn't lose because of him.
No, but yeah, the Rams have the guys that can go up the middle and kind of flush him out of the pocket, and that's what you have to do.
A lot of people took this as an insult today. Now, I still believe that Robey Coleman gave New England locker room bulletin board material, which, why? I mean, why would you even mess with that? But no, to his point, yes, what he said is correct. Now, the Rams aren't the only team trash-talking. Patrick Chung told everyone that they were going to kick their bleeps and all this good stuff. And Brandon Cooks does have a little bit of an edge on his shoulder, chip on his shoulder compared to, you know, I guess considering the fact that he did play in New England last year and now he's going back to play the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Cheap-shotted last year.
He was cheap-shotted last year against the Eagles. I know his Super Bowl stay wasn't very long. But, you know, I thought that this was an interesting conversation to have because people took the comment towards Tom Brady as an insult. And I'm saying it's not an insult.
They're just facts. It's the truth.
He is the best quarterback in the league right now. But part of the reason why he is the best is because he has found a way to evolve his game. Now, what's going to be key for the Rams, and this is why I like the Rams in this game, is because of who they have as their defensive coordinator. Right? We could talk about Bill Belichick. I think he's the greatest football coach ever. I've said that multiple times on the show, and I'm going to stick with it. But Wade Phillips has been around the block a time or two. And
yeah,
the reason the Rams are here is because of Wade Phillips. That's why they're here.
Go back to that AFC title game just a few years ago when I was in Denver. Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator for Denver, threw some wrinkles at the Patriots and really slowed them down.
I think it's going to be a similar situation. Again, we could talk about the offense for the Rams. It's been phenomenal. The fact is, defensively, they were giving up 5.1 yards per carry in the regular season, 2.8 in the postseason. That's Wade Phillips. That's scheme.
Yeah, that's a huge difference with the 5.1 where teams are running, and then it's just been locked down where you're throwing, and they forced teams to, you know, be more pass-happy.
The interesting matchup in the Super Bowl that nobody is talking about, and I know we're going to have plenty of time in the next few days to talk about this. So you have Sean McVay, who's the offensive mastermind in L.A. Josh McDaniels, who is still a very young offensive coordinator. I know he's been in the NFL. He's been in the league for a very long time. He's been around the block, but he's still very, very young. So you have McDaniels and McVay, two youngsters. I look at Belichick from a defensive standpoint. What's he going to do in this game? That's what he's focused on. Josh McDaniels is a head coach in waiting, and I feel like Bill Belichick at times, he does somewhat similar to what Sean McVay does, except on the opposite side of the ball. You can let McDaniels handle the majority of the offensive responsibilities. His main focus has got to be on the defensive side of the ball. That's the way I've kind of approached this, right? Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels have such a great relationship. I don't know how much Bill Belichick actually has to do on the offensive side of the ball now.
Yeah, his main focus should be defense.
It should
because
be.
He knows that he can rely on Josh McDaniels to have the offense and everything else covered. So defensively, Bill Belichick, you know, it's his week to get it right.
I think so. I mean, I really do. But again, like I said, offensively, what's Josh McDaniels going to do? Because the Rams are going to try to create chaos. And I think Robey Coleman's interview today it pinpoints that. And I think common sense pinpoints that. You mentioned it. The Eagles did that last year. They flushed Tom Brady out of the pocket. And while he was good,
505 yards, 5 touchdowns, but
how did the game end?
It ended on a strip sack, basically, is what ended it, as they got pressure on the outside, strip sack Brady. I know they got the ball back and threw a Hail Mary, but it ended with the strip sack.
It did. It ended with the strip sack. That was when the game ended. So, to me, a lot of X's and O's are going to be thrown out. I think it's very simple. If you force Tom Brady out of the pocket, I think the Rams win this game. If they can create enough chaos throughout the game to force Brady
turnovers,
out,
yeah.
I don't even think you need to force turnovers. I think you got to get him out of their comfort zone. Tom Brady was a surgeon against the Chiefs. He was a surgeon against the Chargers. He sat in the pocket, and his quick release, Joey Bosa even said it. He was amazed at his quick release. Well, guess what? If you're not getting pressure on the guy.
Third down, third downs against the Chiefs, they were, what, 3-for-3 on 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15.
Same way against the Chargers.
And that's key. If the Rams can just get 3 and out, get the ball back, they're fine.
Super Bowl 53 coming up this Sunday. Again, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. It is Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Coach Kurt Christiansen and also Jameson Walsh for joining us today to talk some NBA basketball. A lot happening with Anthony Davis, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty more to discuss relatively soon. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. The Brian Kilmeade program is coming up next. Be safe. We are out.